Okay, one of the striking things about the way the Torah presents the building of the Mishkan is the way in Truma and Tetzaveh the Torah goes through so much intricate detail about every single detail about the Mishkan. Every single detail of the Mishkan, and I should have it here. But and then you have Pashas Kisisa, which is the Cheta Egel, and then the Torah once again. In Vayakal Pekudi that we're going to read this Shabbos, the Torah once again goes through every single intricate detail of the Mishkan. Now, Rav Hirsch begins by referring to a famous statement of Chazal at the very beginning of the Parsha. Vayakel Moshe, the Parsha begins on 271. Vayakel Moshe, as Kol Adas B'nai Yisrael, Moshe got everybody together, and Rashi famously comments on the very first Pasuk, Vayakel Moshe l'machos yom ha-kippurim kishayarad min ahar v'hu lashon hifil. So Rashi says, when did Moshe Rabbeinu get everybody together to tell them again about Shabbos for like the fifth time? So we're going to talk a lot about Shabbos this morning. And then, in Pasuk Dalet, Vayom Moshe l'kalas v'yisrael l'mor, zeh adabar shayitzu v'ashem l'mor, kichu me'itchem tshuma l'ashem. He goes over again the whole commandment for the Mishkan. He renews, he tells them again about the commandment of the Mishkan. That Parshas Terumah and Tetzaveh discuss the whole commandment to build the Mishkan in Terumah and Tetzaveh. And now here, after Bnei Yisrael got forgiveness, so Moshe Rabbeinu goes through the entire story again. Right? The first time it was told to Moshe, and now Moshe Rabbeinu is telling it over to all of Klal Yisrael, but the Torah goes through every single detail again. And Rav Hirsch comments a lot about two primary things we're going to learn this week. The first is, what's this juxtaposition between the atonement for the sin of the Cheta Egel and the commandment to build the Mishkan? What's the connection? And the other thing is about the connection between the Mishkan and Shabbos. Those are going to be the two beautiful, beautiful ideas Rav Hirsch has to speak about. So let's take it away. Look what he says. This is the very beginning. La'achar shehurdu mechadash luchos ha'edus. After the luchos were brought down for the second time on Yom Kippur. That's what happened in Yom Kippur. The luchos were brought down for the second time. Shuv nitztavu la'akamas mishkan ha'edus. So the Jewish people once again are commanded about building the Mishkan. Shaharei haluchos heim ha'eravon lenochachuso hamyuchedas shel Hashem b'kerav ha'am. The luchos are like the guarantor of Hashem's presence in the Mishkan. Hama'oraos ha'kashim sheha'am isnaseh b'hem kim supah b'prakim ha'achronim. The difficult challenges that the nation just faced, which were described in the last chapters, namely Cheta Egel, and all that, the reason it happened, and the results of it, Ha'emidu b'siman she'ila et kol hagshamato shel tzivui zeh. So the Cheta Egel caused there to be a question mark about the entire commandment to build the Mishkan. There's a question mark, right? The Jewish people had Matan Torah. God commanded them to build a Mishkan, and they sinned literally within moments of having received the Torah, such a sin such as Cheta Egel. So Cheta Egel put a question mark on the whole focus and purpose, Siman Sheila, put a question mark on the whole focus and purpose of the Mishkan. Ulam, however, Hamoraot Ha'ela Hayu Bali Chashivut Mufleget Lagabe Atzivoy Azeh Atzmo. But these events had tremendous significance and importance, specifically vis-a-vis the commandment to build the Mishkan. Good morning, Gavi. Good morning. Lagabe ha-Mishkan v'tachliso, as far as the Mishkan and its goals. Ata, sarachai l'akamis ha-Mishkan ayisod chadash shel nisayon. Now, the Mishkan had to be built with a different focus after the Cheta Egel. So Rav Hirsch is alluding to the fact that the reason Moshe Rabbeinu had to go over the whole commandment again is because after the Cheta Egel, the Mishkan had a new important purpose and direction. Ha'am va'kohanim lamdu lahakir et atzmam b'chol rifayon choser shleimusam. The people learned to recognize themselves with all of their shortcomings, failings, and lack of ability. Hem lamdu lahakir ki zukukim hem lehishtalmut matmedet. The nation realized that they need something that's going to continuously propel them to be on guard about sin and to continuously propel them to grow and to develop and to always be striving higher. Because if a Jew is not constantly vigilant about growing, willy-nilly, he's going to be fallen. That's what the Chet HaEgel. If the Jewish people could sin in such short proximity after having the revelation Har Sinai, well, then nothing was safe. You can never just relax and say, I'm okay. Lehitalut, to growth ulechapara, and to atonement. Kein lamdu ladas ki abori hu bala din achamor. They learned that God punishes for sin. V'gam bala rachmi magdolim, but also at the very same time that he forgives. Both are crucial ideas for the Jew. Heim tamu et tamam shel kol dirugei hayachasim b'neinu l'vein Hashem. Dirugei is the lashon of darga. They tasted the taste of all the various levels of relationship between us and God. L'min shfala madrega shel adam nivze v'nimas b'nei Hashem. From the lowliest of the low of a person drowning in the filth and mired in the pain and the distance and the stress of sin. And also hearing God utter the words, Salachti kidvarecha, hearing God utter the words, I have forgiven you from this. So both feelings, in a very short amount of time, the Jewish people, in a couple of months, they went from the lowliest of the low of having experienced a plague and feeling God's wrath, to the highest of the high of being forgiven, and God saying, I want to come back and dwell in with you in the Mishkan. Again, even after you sinned with the golden calf, I still want to be back with you in the Mishkan. HaMishkan, shenetztavu lahakim, no'ad lehiyos hamakom mimenu yahel or chazon yudam lanetzach, leman haprat uleman haklal, hamakom bo yimtzu tamid uvchol madrega shel ti'iyah, straying, verifayon, and weakening, et hakoch lashuv v'lalot el al, et chozek haratzon lahasmid v'lamod berum malas yudam, v'es ezras Hashem v'birchato l'mimush kavanatam arutsuya. The Mishkan was a place, says Rav Hirsch, and this is the lesson that the Jewish people specifically learned right now, and I would argue the same thing would apply to our shuls and our batei medrash. The same thing. Our houses of God, house of study, house of davening. It's the same thing. Two purposes, says Rav Hirsch. Two purposes. Purpose number one, to motivate you and inspire you to pick yourself up, to pick ourselves up from the low level that we might find ourselves on. Number two, when we find ourselves strong, to keep us strengthened, to keep us at that high level, to keep us pushing to continue our davening well, our learning well, our service of God, our mitzvah observance, our chesed ben l'chaveru. That's what the Mishkan was supposed to be, a reminder. God's presence is in your midst. You can go to the Mishkan. That's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded you, the whole Torah. It's there for two purposes. Whatever level a Jew finds himself on, the Mishkan has what to tell him. If he's in the dumps, the Mishkan could say, Salachti kidvarecha. If he's on a high level, the Mishkan could say, I'm in your midst. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep on growing. Keep it up. And that God's right there. I like to quote the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah in this context. That, you know, in the 13 Yud Gimel Midos, very strange, right? We start off the Yud Gimel Midos, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Racham Lechanam. Very, very strange. Very strange. Normally, you're not allowed to say God's name twice in anything. The Mishnah Bracha says, if you say Shema, Shema, Mishatkinu, so we accuse you of being a heretic. Because you can't say Hashem, Hashem, it sounds like there's two gods. That's exactly the antithesis. How can it be the beginning of your Gimel Midos to say Hashem Hashem Kelracham Echanan? So what does the Gemara Rosh Hashanah say? There's two gods. What? There's two gods? It's the wrong religion. What do you mean there's two gods? No. Hashem Kodem Sheyechta and Hashem La'acha Sheyechta. That's what the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah. That the same God who's there for a person before he sins, there's one God that relates to a person when things are going well, when he's not sinning, when he's doing the right thing. And the same God extends his hand to mankind in general, to the Jewish people in general, and to each individual Jew in particular, that after a person strays and makes a mistake and he feels far away, that same God extends his hand. So I like to say that Truman Tetzaveh is God before the sin. And Vayakal Pekudeh is God after the sin. That's what Rav Hirsch is saying over here. That the Jewish people, that whatever matzav we find ourselves in, if we find ourselves in a matzav of strength, we're doing the right thing, we feel good, we're learning, we're davening, we're doing mitzvahs and chesed, everything's great, God has that relationship with us. And when we sin, and when we fall down, and when we do the wrong thing, or we make a mistake, we slip up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there waiting for us to do tshuva, to lift ourselves up, to come back. There's never any distance that's too far for the Jew and God to get back together again. Kach nasa ma'oros sha'akosav rashmam l'dori doros. Bein hadibur shetziv al-binyan ha-migdash harishon uvein bitzua la'idus. Ki chazdei Hashem ha-mitsuyim b'chol dargos ha-chit v'ha-tshuva shel adam heim uvda historit mehemna. Trustworthy. It is a trustworthy historical fact. And it was drilled into us at the very beginning of our history, through the Chet HaEgel. Rav Hirsch actually suggested in previous parashas, we talked about it, that it's almost like God set it up that way, like he specifically delayed Moshe Rabbeinu, so that the whole thing should happen, so the Jewish people should learn, again, not quite, you know, he didn't set us up to fail, but he challenged us and tested us right at the beginning, so that we should know that sin and the rebound from sin is something that is part of the human condition. And right away, we should know that sin is going to happen. Ein adam tzadik ba'aretz asher yasto v'lo yechta. No such thing. But much more importantly, rebound from sin is possible. And tshuva from sin is possible. And relationship with God that comes after sin is possible. All of this that's Vayakal Pekudeh. Vayakal Pekudeh is Moshe Rabbeinu reviews the whole thing. After Yom Kippur, you got Slicha. You see, this is what being a Jew is about. Sometimes you feel distance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still in the Mishkan. He's still waiting for you there in Beis Medrash, in the Shul, in the Mishkan. He's still there for you. Oh! But he takes it one step further, gentlemen. One step further. And this is Rav Hirsch talking to Germany in the late 1800s, early 1900s. Ulam! Et ikar chashivusam shel ha-ma'oros shekadmu lebinyan ha-mishkan mikdash harishon native lahavin. Says Rav Hirsch, but there's another point here. There's another nekudat chidush over here. God said, Salachti kivarecha, before the Mishkan was built. So says Rav Hirsch to his German congregants, lest you think that now that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, that God is far away, and the ability to achieve Slicha Mechila is gone with the ashes of the burnt Beis HaMikdash. Says Rav Hirsch, no. The whole Chiddush over here is God said there was no carbon offered, there was no sacrifice offered, there was no Beis HaMikdash built, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu still said Salach Ki Kedvarecha. Says Rav Hirsch, this is to instill within us and remind us that the Mikdash / Mishkan / Karbanos are only there as a help to focus us on tshuva and kapara and atonement and relationship with God. But even without Mikdash and Mishkan, during those dark periods of Jewish history of Gullus, when we don't merit having God's presence, or in some way, not in the revealed way, of Beis HaMikdash, but it's still there, the same relationship with Hashem that's necessary to achieve Slicho Mechila, that same relationship that you have with Mikdash, yes, you have a great help having Beis HaMikdash standing on Har HaBayis, it's a great help to Kapara, but it's not a prerequisite, it's not a necessity. And the Jew can get the same level of relationship and the same level of Kapara, whether the house is standing there or the house is not standing there. It might be easier when the house is standing there, but that's just an aid. It's just a help. It's not the be-all, with-all, and end-all. And this is the very important lesson also of Parshas Kisisa and Vayakal Pekudei. Oh, that's part one of the Shia today. That's part one. And the rest of the Shia we're going to spend on part two. The rest of the Shia is part two. Part two is all about the juxtaposition between Mishkan and Shabbos. Mishkan and Shabbos. Because that's what you have at the very beginning of Parshas Vayakal. Take a look. Let's read it inside. What do you have? Again. One more time. Vayakel Moshe's called Das Bnei Yisrael Vayomer Alehem Elad Vorma Shed Tziva Hashem La'asa Sosam. So the first thing that Moshe Rabbeinu commands the Jewish people right after the sin of the golden calf, when God, not right after the sin of the golden calf, right after Hashem forgives them from the sin of the golden calf and allows Moshe Rabbeinu to come down the mountain with the renewed and rededicated second Luchos on Yom Kippur. Right? Vayaka, Moshe says, Rashi, L'machos Yom HaKippurim. It was the day after Yom Kippur. And what does he say? Zeh, Ela Dvarim Asher Tziva Hashem La'asosam. These are the things that God has commanded you to do them. Sheshes Yomim Te'asem Malacha. For 6 days you work. Uvayom HaShvi Yelachem Kodesh Shabbos Shabbosom Hashem Kaloseh B'Malacha Yumas. And on Shabbos, you don't do malacha. And then right away in Pasuk Dalid, Yom Moshe called Das Bei Say Lemar, Zeh Adam Asher Tziva Hashem Lemar. Kumei Tchem Truma Lashem, Kol Divlibo Yivyeh Truma, collect all the stuff for the Mishkan. Vaita, the same thing like we had in Truma and Tetzaveh. So what's with this juxtaposition? So Chazal, first of all, understood, as we all know, that how do you determine the 39 categories of malacha that are forbidden on Shabbos? Dafka, those 39 categories of malacha, which were used in the building and preparation for the materials and the building of the Mishkan. There's this connection between Mishkan and Shabbos. So that's on a purely halachic level, that's the connection. But Rav Hirsch Kedarko wants to dig deep and try to figure out what's the spiritual, hashkafic, metaphysical connection that we can understand between the building of the Mishkan and the cessation of work on Shabbos. What's the connection? What's the lesson for us? So here he says something fascinating. Let's take a look. Bottom of page one. Kan le'umas zos b'hakdama le'mitzvah ha'Shabbos Mufneh ha-mabat el riboy kol ha-dvar ma-maisim ha-novim mitzorche ha-binyan. Nikroim anachnu l'shavos l'neged eininu es ha-dvarim echad el echad. Eila ha-dvarim. Ves ha-masim ha-drushim la-asiyosu shechol echad v'echad mehem la-asos osam. Each individual malacha needs to be scrutinized, said Rav Hirsch. Umikan mamshech ha-kasuv omer. Sheshes yamim teasem alacha v'gomer. Klomar. Kol maisem in amaisim ha'ele. Every action that you use in the building of the Mishkan, every creative action that you use in the building of the Mishkan, you can only do for 6 days. Rak b'sheisha yamos ha'shavua. Ach lo b'shabes. Have oimer. Shekol echad min ha'maisim adrushim la'kamas binyan ha'mishkan.
Melacha hi shasi yasa b'shabbos yesh ba mishum chil l'shabbos. V'kach doresh eska malach zakaza shelofane shelanu. L'fish nemar vayakel Moshe eila dvarim sheshis yom teasa melacha. Dvarim is two. Hadvarim is three. Eila is gematria 36. Eila dvarim. Did you figure that out? Dvarim is two. Hadvarim is three. Eila hadvarim. Eila is gematria 36. Eilu shloshim v'teisha malachal shenemer l'moshe v'sina. Kach doresh es ha-halacha. So that's a cute mnemonic. But says of Hirsch, it's much more than a cute mnemonic. Kach doresh es ha-halacha. Mimelechas ha-mishkan es lamites ha-malachos. Ha-yatsronios sha-asiyosan asura b'shabes. Mishum isr malacha. The 39 hayatsronios, that's the key word. The 39 creative malachos, that doing them is asur and Shabbos. It's going to be a little bit long, so bear with me. B'niyas hamishkan hi ha-eskar ha-gadol b'yoser le-kosher asiyoso shal ha-adam b'tchum tivunas ha-kapayim, your hands. The building of the Mishkan is the greatest possible goal, the greatest possible, the ultimate usage of man's creative ability with his hands. Building a beautiful structure to serve Hashem, like a new building for a yeshiva, like a new shul, a new building. The greatest usage of creativity and dedication that one could use his hands for is to build a house of God, to build a base medrash, to build a yeshiva, to build a shul, to build a mikdash, to build a mishkan. That's the greatest usage of creativity, of your hands. V'imlo mibchinat ha'umanut, if, says Rav Hirsch, you could find a more beautiful structure than a shul or a base medrash, you could find, it doesn't necessarily mean from an artistic point of view, Hare bevadai mibchinat hachazon, vision, v'hatachlit hagluma b'mishkan v'asu li migdash v'shachanti b'socham. Certainly in terms of creating a house of God. Shiltono shel ha'adam al ha'olam ha'gashmi. Man's rulership over the physical world, over the creative world, the natural world. Habali de bitoy be hafakatam be yitzuram uvi ivudam hayitzrani shel hachomrim, raw materials, right? Man's rulership over the work and the creation and the production, the creative production of physical substances. Magia b'migdash el yiudo hana'ale b'yoter. In the building of the Beis HaMikdash, man's creative energies, his physical labors, come to their most exalted goal. Listen to these lines carefully. Ha'adam misha'abed la'atzmo et ha'olam, kidei l'sha'abed et atzmo ve'et olamo le'borei olam. That's how Rav Hirsch summarizes the whole endeavor of building a Mishkan. Man subjugates, man harnesses the physical powers of the gold and silver and purple and blue wools and dyes of the world under his creative abilities in order that he should subjugate himself to the will of God. That's the connection between Mikdash and Shabbos. In Mikdash, in the building of the Mishkan, man uses all of his creative energies and talents to subdue the world, the physical world, under his dominion, to show his creative talents, man's creative talents, in order that on Shabbos, he ceases and desists from those creative talents to show his submission to God. So again, so man causes the world to submit to his will for 6 days, so that on the seventh day he submits His will to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. וכדי להפוך את עולמו למקום שבתה של מלכות שמיים, למקדש שבו ישכון כבוד השם עלי אדמות. בנייס המקדש, and that's why he says, by the way, the building of the Mishkan is not Docha Shabbos, right? You can't build the Mikdash on Shabbos. בנייס המקדש הרי הוא קידוש פועלו של האדם. The building of the Beis HaMikdash is the sanctification of man's actions. והכתוב מציין אותה כאיחוד כל המלאכות היצרניות השונות של האדם, והן מהוות על ידי השביסה ממלאכה, את סעיפי המסכת של קבלס או מלכוש או שמיים, שאלה אנו מצווים בשבס. So we're about to celebrate a Shabbos, gentlemen, together. Not together, unfortunately, but we're about to celebrate a Shabbos. And the idea of Shabbos is submitting before God that we are going to abstain from creative actions. Dedicating our 6 days of creative activities towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Realizing that the talents and abilities that we use our hands and our creative abilities for all the rest of the week, they are only to be used in serving God. And Shabbos, by refraining from those activities, we are sanctifying and dedicating those activities to Hashem. Kol asiyah yatzranit shemalaches hamishka nizkakala hofeket b'chat la'av malacha l'suk shel avoda yatzranit tamakif arbe toladot haynu tat malachot, minor ones, haklulot b'musago. Geder ha-malacha asur b'shabes remuza b'kosef. He talks about it in the next paragraph, and I'm not going to read it all inside. This is why we have a rule in Hilchos Shabbos that if the malacha is destructive, mekalkel is pater on Shabbos. Kol mekalkel and peturin. Why? Because the whole idea is creativity. And that's why davar she'eino miskaven, if you don't intend to do a malacha, you're pater. Why? Because the whole idea is the creative intent to do something. But that's why all these other things. Let's skip. So Rav Hirsch goes through all 39 malachos. So I left that part out. I spared you from all 39. But the idea is, says Rav Hirsch, 38 out of the 39 are all creative. And here's, so point number one about Shabbos, Rav Hirsch says, we have to realize that Hashem gave us creative abilities as adults, and Shabbos is basically dedicating all of our creativity and realizing it all comes from Hashem and abstaining for one day to subjugate and to remind ourselves that all the creative activities in this earth that we're supposed to be engaged in are all supposed to be Laman Hashem. That's the idea of Mikdash being right next to Shabbos. Because Mikdash is the ultimate expression of man, Bezalel's genius and creativity in building beauty for the sake of God. And Shabbos is the one day we abstain from all those activities. So show me that. That's point number one. But now he says, which of these things is not like the other? That famous Sesame Street game that we grew up on. He says 38 out of the 39 malachos have this creative aspect in common. But there's one of the 39 malachos which is not creative at all in nature. Dr. Joe's got it. Dr. Joe's got it. Carrying from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. You have changed nothing in the state of that object. Just its place, its location. That's not creativity. That's why the Gemara in Shabbos refers to Hotza'ah as a malacha grua. It's a wimpy, low-level, not creative and not such significant malacha. So this is going to be my final point in the shiur. Rav Hirsch does tremendous analysis about what's the symbolism and significance. Rav Hirsch takes this and runs with it. I mean, he really runs with it. But I'll have the opportunity to get to it. Let's see. Go to the bottom paragraph. Rak ha'achrona mibein lametes malachos. Only the last, the very last, only the 39th of the 39 melachos, hahotzah mirishus lirishus, carrying from one domain to the other, mirishus hayochel lirishus harabim ulahepech, v'chein hamavri dal amos rishus harabim, similarly that which is learned out from which is carrying four amos in a rishus harabim. Melacha gruahi, it's a lowly, insignificant, non-creative melacha. V'kasha lichlalosa b'musak ha-melachos ha-yatsraniyot, it's very difficult to include this in the creative melachos. Melacha zu lo haisa nilmedes mi-melachos ha-mishkan nilmoni nidreshes b'drashim yucheres. We need a special drash in the Chumash for this, right? Al yetsu ish mi-pesach beso b'yom ha-shabas. Afal pikein, nevertheless, says of Hirsch, Dafka melacha zushi grua kolkach bechit soni yusa hamamashit. Rabba chashivusa ad kedekach. Sheyirmiyo anavi. Kasha nitzdava bimei achis amedina yehudit levaser al dva yishuata. When Yirmiyo was lamenting the Jews about to get chucked out of Eretz Yisrael, it was dafka this malacha that he warned them about. Dafka this malacha of Hotzah that he warned them about. Af prichata v'shag shuga bizchus shmiras ha-shabbos. Tova muvar ha-shmira klalot shemitzis ha-shabbos lishmor b'myuchad al isar ha-Hotzah. And Rav Hirsch now in his commentary quotes like 30 psukim from Sefer Yirmiyahu. But I just have a few of them. Ko amar Hashem Eli. Haloch v'amarata b'shar b'nei amamarata lehem shimu d'var Hashem alchi yudah v'chol yoshvei Yerushalayim abar b'sharam ha'ela. Ko amar Hashem. Hisham rubenav shoseichem v'al tisu masa b'yom ha-shabbos. Don't carry on Shabbos. Eveisem b'shari Yerushalayim. Unbelievable. Yirmiyahu's lecturing the people. You know why you're about to get chucked out of Israel? You want to save yourselves. You want to not get thrown away. This is like the last before they were about to get thrown out. But you didn't listen. Look what he says over here. Vaya, if you do tshuva, im shamat tishmon elai nu Hashem levulti hevi masa b'shara yir azos b'yom haShabbos ulakadish es yom haShabbos. That's one. If you listen to me and don't carry, and levulti asos bol kol malacha, you also don't do the other 38 malachos. Ubo b'shari yerzos malachim v'sarim yosh makise David rochvim berecha v'susim hema v'sareim ish Yehuda v'yosh Yerushalayim eretz ben yamin u'men ashvel etc. etc. v'mlos ishmu elai l'kadesh it's yom ha-shabbos. And if you don't listen to me, sanctify the Shabbos, number one. U'levilti seis masa, and you don't care, and by not carrying, ubo b'shari Yerushalayim v'yom ha-shabbos v'hitzati esh b'shareh av achla armenos Yerushalayim v'lo sichbeh. Wow. Says Rav Hirsch, why did I take away your time and I just quoted for you 30 psukim from Sefer Yirmiyahu? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Says Rav Hirsch, hetatu kan is called divrei anavi kidei laham cheshat ha-mishkal ha-gadol Shanavi Mashvel Isser Hahotzah Bishabbos. Over Meyuchad Kadesh Nivachach, She Isser Hotzah, Nirakan Loke Chelak built in Nifrad May Isser Malacha. Kim Kemusaka Omid Bitsido Shel Isser Malacha Kolel. Shmirat Hashabat Makifala Divranavi Isser Hotzah, Isser Malacha. Says of Hirsch, there's two categories of Malacha on Shabbos, Isser Hotzah and the other 38. What's going on over here? What's going on? Listen to his incredible chiddush. Shmirat Shabbat Makifa L'Divrei Hanavi Iser Hotzav Iser Melacha. Lo Sosiyu Masa V'chol Melacha Lo Sasa. Im Nevakesh Es HaMusag HaKol Eils Kol Shah Melacha Sarei Kulam Mitzayinu Es Maman HaShalit Shel Adam Klape Adver Meshev Olam HaGashmi V'ilu Inyan HaOtzahu Achirak B'tchum HaChevrati. Says Rav Hirsch, the 38 Melachos are there on Shabbos to teach us and to remind us that on Shabbos, man subjugates his creative abilities in the natural world, in the physical world, to God. That's the 38 Melachos, man's creative work with the natural physical world. All the work that we do day in, day out, we dedicate and donate to Hashem. What's Hotzah? Hotzah is all of man's actions in the social world. Bringing things from your private domain into the public domain, bringing things from the public domain into the private domain, the private actions that a person does on behalf of the community, the actions that the community leaders do on behalf of the individuals, sanctifying all of our creative, in quotes, actions in the social, national domain, in the communal domain. Shabbos, we refrain not only from creative actions in the natural world, that's what's symbolized by the 38 Melachos. And Melacha number 39 is, we dedicate to God not only our creative actions in the natural world that we abstain from, but we even show fealty to God in our social actions. We have to dedicate and sanctify even our actions in the social realm. Let's see what he says. See what he says. In the crescendo. Let's see if we can bring it home. In the last 2 minutes. Again, let me read it again, the first line of the bowl that I just read. Im nevakesh et ha-musag ha-kol el kol ha-shar malachot, ha-ri kulu mitzaynot et ma-mar ha-shalit shal adam klapei adem shalom ha-gashmi, underline it. That's olam ha-gashmi, that's the physical, material world. But ho-tzah, v'ilu ne-ho-tzah, hu ach v'rak b'tchum ha-chevrati. Tchum ha-chevrati, that's the social world. Domeh, it seems to me, says Rav Hirsch, she'en letaret malo chai ha-medina tiyu shalem yoter ma-sher zeh. This is a description of the Jewish communal life. Yachas hayachid ala klal hachevra, the relationship of the individual to the community. Yachas klal hachevra ala yachid. Klomar chumas hayachid tovas haklal. Man's individual contribution for the good of the community. Uchumas haklal tovas hayachid. Ulubesof kidum in yanei hachevra betchom hachevra. Hare elu yachasim abayim lidei bitui kolea behotso v'achnasa v'shus haram l'shus hayochim v'shus hayochim v'shus haram u'v'havor adal adamas v'shus haram. And that's within the community acting on behalf of the community. That's walking, that's carrying four amas in v'shus haram. Lefikach, if the other 38 malachos cause man to subjugate his creativity in the physical material world, Hare nirash iser hotzah mevate es shi'abudo shel adam la'Hashem b'ma'amado b'olam ha'chevrati. This is symbolizing man's subjugating his will in his communal actions to God as well. Harishonu ha'shtibda ha'shta'abdut la'Hashem b'teva, in nature, v'asheniu ha'shta'abdut b'historia. Harishon ma'amid tachat ribono daboreh poel adam b'teva, v'hashenid poel adam b'medina. Your actions in the community also have to be defined by godliness. K'shem sherak ha'teva v'hamedina b'yachad, ma'avim et ha'musag olam, nature and nation come together to create man's world. Kein mitzaref ha-musag shal ribonot Hashem ba'olam et hashkachato p'kudo ba'teva uv'historia. God is involved in nature and God is involved in history. That's the 38 melachos and melacha number one. Malchut Hashem alei adamot. God's dominion and rulership and kingship over the world, Sha'al ha'adam l'kayma agdei shmirat ha'shabbat, and man upholds this through observing Shabbos, Shleima u'mamashit rakim yishtabed l'ratzon Hashem b'chayv ha'tiviyim v'hamdiniyim ke'echad. Let's read that sentence one more time. The kingdom of God on this earth that man upholds through observing the Shabbos is only complete only if he subjugates to the will of God his natural life, chayav ativiyim, v'hamadiniyim, and his social life, his national life, ke'echad, at once. And this is symbolized by the 38 and the 39. And that's why Yirmiyahu HaNavi calls out this particular malacha separately, because he's trying to give the people mussar in both of these realms, not only in their own personal creativity, but in the way they're conducting their Jewish communal life, the way they're conducting their communal organizations and their communal functions. And in one closing flourish, the last paragraph, he says, that's why Shabbos is sometimes known as Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis and Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right? We say in Kiddush, Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis. Shabbos is Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis, and we also say Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim in Kiddush. Why is Shabbos Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis and Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim? Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis symbolizes the dimension of Shabbos that subjugates the natural and physical world to God. And Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim is subjugating Jewish history to God. So, what's the lesson for us? What's the lesson for us? The lesson for us is that Shabbos is the day that's dedicated to recognizing Hashem's mastery over not only the physical world by abstaining from the 38 creative malachas, but by abstaining from the one non-creative malacha, we even say that Hashem rules over our actions on behalf of other people, our actions on behalf of the community, and we have to reevaluate on Shabbos not only the way we interact with the physical world, we have to reevaluate the way we act with other people, the way we act in public domains, the way we act in our leadership roles, the way our communal institutions are acting. Are they also behaving the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from the world? So hopefully this Shabbos and every Shabbos, we can rededicate ourselves to Hashem's mastery over our physical creative acts. And hopefully if we all do this, we'll be zocha again to Binyan Beis HaMikdash, that it shouldn't have to be Docha Shabbos. We should rebuild that Beis HaMikdash and have once again that representation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mastery in our midst, which now we have in our shuls and yeshivas in a small way. Hopefully it should be revealed in its most major way. May that day come in here. Amen. Have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody.